Here we go. Please close your eyes. Put your hands in a comfortable position. Pull in your lower tummy a little bit, okay? And try to keep some tension there. That helps your concentration. Keeps a little bit of tension on your lower belly. I do this breath of fire thing. I do 300 rounds a day. And it helps a lot when you go to meditate because the muscles in your lower tummy are connected to the muscles in your lower back. So that can help a lot when you're meditating. Let's go into 10. Let's do 20. 20 slow breaths out and then in is one breath. So out and then in is one breath. And I'm going to go slow through 20 breaths. Maybe your 20 breaths takes longer or less time. Don't worry about it. Go at your own speed. And let's calm the mind down with 20 breaths. Here we go. Now I'd like you to imagine that you are walking across a beautiful green field of grass. And it's in the under the blue sky. And it's a beautiful day, beautiful sunny day. And you're just walking across a field. There's a slight wind. Try to make it pleasant, happy, and just enjoying a beautiful day in the sunlight and the soft grass under your feet. Then you come to a little hill, and you keep walking through the grass to this small hill, top of a small hill. And you sit down in the grass and just enjoy being there. The place I'm imagining is there's a place near my house, and there's a beautiful small hill with beautiful green grass. And then there are trees, not on top of the hill, but a little bit off to the side. So when you sit on the top of the hill, you can also, and you look at the blue sky, you can kind of see the tree branches also, and you can enjoy it. I like to lay down in the grass and just spread out my arms and look at the sky. And my whole vision, except for those few tree branches, is blue sky, and I personally find it very relaxing and very comfortable, and I'm just laying back and I'm just looking at the blue sky. Let's lay back like that for a few minutes. You don't have anything else to do, you have nowhere else to go. You have to give up this time, give up this space. You are hereby liberated from your cell phone, your other responsibilities. I know you're busy. I know you have too many things to do. I know you cannot take time to meditate, but you will learn something amazing. When you take time to meditate, the things you have to do get less. It's very strange. So normally, if you have a lot of things to do and you do them quickly, you feel like the list is getting smaller, but normally it's getting bigger. And if you decide to put everything aside, put your phone aside, let the news go, let the apps go, let the social media go, and just lay back and give yourself 10 minutes, 15 minutes of real relaxation and peace in one day. It's very, very precious. And you will find that it helps you set your priorities, and you can cancel half the things on your to-do list. And you're actually saving time. Here we go. You're laying back in the grass, and your eyes are on the blue sky. You have a little bit of peripheral or side vision of a few tall trees on the edges, but mostly just looking at the sky, empty sky. So that's the first of the four spaces. In the Abhidharma school of ancient wisdom, higher knowledge school, they teach that the blue sky is a kind of space. They call it namkha or akasha, And that's one of the kinds of empty space for them. You can say it's baby space. It's the smallest kind of empty space, okay? So it's just the sky overhead. We call it in English the vault of the sky, or it's kind of the pot cover of the sky that covers our earth, and it's this blue sky. And there's an important meditation called Namkhatabu, Akashavat, which means space-like or sky-like. And then when people heard that name, they thought, oh, that's the blue sky. That must be the blue sky. And there was some people who misunderstood the meaning of sky or space. And they used to meditate on the blue sky. And they thought, oh, this is emptiness, or this is the diamond world. It's not, okay? It's not. Because it's a positive thing. Blue is a color. Real diamond world, real empty space, as we said when we started, is the absence of something. The absence of a watermelon on the desk in front of me is a kind of close to the idea of emptiness. But to stare at the blue sky, which is actually a positive thing, the blue color is not the absence of color, it's color. It gets you in the mood, okay? It gets you a little bit close to the idea of space. And it's useful. It's good. And, you know, sometimes I like to go out on the hill, a real hill, and lay back and do these four space meditation on the real hill, or you can do it at home. But you are laying back, you're enjoying the blue sky, it's a kind of space, it's not the important one, but it's a good warm-up, it's a good place to start from, okay? Get used to it, enjoy the empty sky, look at the blue cover of this world, and it will start to get you into the mood of the diamond world. Okay? And if you've ever laid down, by the way, you have to find a grassy field with no ants. And they do exist. And we're laying back on a little hill in the grass, and it's very relaxing. And we just have our eyes open. And we can feel this huge planet behind our back. And then don't forget, there's a few tree branches you can see to the side a little bit, off to each side. But mainly the thing you can see is the blue sky. And that is a kind of space. There are ancient books which describe it as a kind of space. And the name space is the same for all four spaces, by the way. Akasha, or Namkha. And the meditation on space is extremely important. And it's also confusing. There are different kinds of meditations on space in the ancient books. And what we've done is to organize them into these four, which will make it very clear. If you've ever walked up in the afternoon and really enjoyed laying back on a hill and feel the whole planet behind you, and then in front of you the blue sky, I'm sure if you enjoy taking walks or hikes, you've stayed out after dusk. So the blue sky begins to shift to a gray sky as the sun goes down. I think it's one of the most magical moments of the day. If you're on a hike and you have a flashlight and the sun is going down and you can just enjoy dusk falling, the blue starts to disappear. It shifts into a gray. Oftentimes, suddenly when the sun's light is no longer hitting the earth, it drops a few degrees suddenly. And if you're used to being on the water or on the ocean or in the mountains, this is a time of equilibrium. The temperature of the dry land and the temperature of the oceans matches at some point. And then the wind stops, because normally wind is the result of heat rising from the land or the water. So there's a point of equilibrium, and the wind gets calm, and the sky starts getting dark. And I enjoy just staying there. You know, I really, really enjoy watching the sunset go down. And then there's a period of dusk, there's still some light in the air. I love to be at a place where there's not much artificial light in the sky. If you live in a city, you won't really be able to see the night sky properly. I think it's important to go sometimes to a retreat center like Diamond Mountain and just enjoy a real nighttime sky. So then the sky will get dark. And then there's this kind of, if you live out in the country or if you're in retreat, there's this special moment when the first stars come out. You know, you start seeing one star, and then you see a second star. Oftentimes it will be the planets, like Jupiter, the big ones, Saturn, and Venus, bright, and you will see these planets come out first. So now you're sitting on your back in the meditation. You're enjoying the nighttime sky. And I've always enjoyed pretending that I'm in the cockpit of a spaceship, okay? I'm in the captain's chair of a spaceship called Earth. So my spaceship is behind me, huge, huge ball of stone and volcanic magma at the center, and I'm riding on the front of this spaceship. So I feel sometimes like I'm steering it. And, you know, we are rotating around the sun, even at night. And by the way, there's a tradition. That you could face to the east. You could do your meditation facing to the east, which kind of means you're in the front of the planet, because the planet is spinning towards the east, and that's why the sun comes up in the east. And you're going to feel like there is a difference if you meditate facing to the east. You're kind of riding at the front of the spaceship called Earth. And now I want you to imagine that the stars are opening up in front of you. And in English, that's called outer space, okay? And you can imagine this big spaceship called Earth, which is also spinning to the east, and you're riding at the front of the car, and you are passing through black space, outer space. So we went from the blue color of sky or space treated as the sky. Then the sun went down, and now we are flying through outer space. And outer space is still colored. It's just black, okay? So black in the ancient Asian tradition, black is one of the primary colors. And if you think about it, it is a color. If you paint a cup black, it's different. We're buying cups for our cafe, and we looked at black cups, and they're ugly. We decided not to buy them. And white is a beautiful color, but still black is a kind of color. And so you are traveling at the front of a big spaceship called Earth, and you're kind of like the captain, and you are nose first. You are, the Earth is passing through black space, and the stars are circling, or the stars are dropping behind you. So and stay there on the hill, on your back. The sun went down. The sky became pitch black. And the stars came out. And, you know, if you ever do long retreat, there's one thing you find out. The stars are moving constantly at night because of the rotation of the Earth. So imagine you are flying through outer space. So we distinguish between the first two kinds of spaces have different names. The first one is the sky, the blue sky. And then the second one is outer space. It's bigger than the blue sky. It's a black color. We would say that outer space is actually a positive entity. It's a thing which is there. It's not the absence of things, really. It's black, and it's occupied by different planets and stars, comets. It's a positive thing, and the blue sky is a positive thing. These first two kinds of space, because they are colored, we can consider them positive things. Okay, we have a few minutes in this third section. We're going to go deeper now. We've been laying down in the grass. The sky's been, we've been watching the nighttime sky. But throughout the whole meditation, the feeling of the earth behind our back has been solid. It's been a constant pressure on our back. We can feel behind us the immense mass of the earth, okay? Basically a stone with a liquid, molten liquid center, and huge mass, huge weight. We could feel the entire planet behind us, okay? And that planet is moving through space, okay? That planet is rotating, and it's circling the sun. Okay, so try to picture the planet behind your back is moving. It's like a train, and it's moving through empty space, okay? And let's say that an hour goes by, and you've been laying on your back watching the stars, which is a great meditation practice. And the planet has changed its position in the universe, okay? It's circling the sun. The sun itself is still expanding out from the area of the last Big Bang. And this planet behind your back is not in the same place it was an hour ago, okay? Now I want you to go back and imagine the place where the planet was an hour ago, okay? There's a position in empty space where the planet was an hour ago. You can say there was a like a bubble in the space, and then the planet entered that bubble, and the planet sat in that bubble, and then the planet exited that bubble, okay? And try to appreciate that the space that the planet was in an hour ago is still back there behind the planet someplace, okay? There's an empty space. We're not talking about the black outer space. That's a different thing. That's got white stars in it. That's a color. That's a positive thing. But there was an empty envelope of space behind the planet before it moved. And the planet moved out of one envelope, empty envelope, into another envelope. And that space, which the planet occupied an hour ago, it's still there. And it will always be there. That's so interesting. Okay, now that's a negative space. That's the absence of something. The planet enters that space during its orbit, and then the planet exits that space. But what about the space? What happens to the space? Hey, it just sits there, okay? It's waiting for the next time the planet comes, you know? It's just an empty spot. It's an empty spot in the universe. It's one location which is physically empty. Is it emptiness? Is it ultimate emptiness? Is it the diamond world? No. If you see this space, if you touch this space, it doesn't do that much for you, okay? But it helps you get closer to the ultimate space, the fourth one, okay? So we were riding on the front of our planet through the nighttime darkness. Stars were passing by. That planet in its orbit entered a certain space without obstruction, we say, in the ancient language, asanga, tokme. There was no obstruction. The planet entered the space smoothly, no problem. Like putting a foot in a sock. I put Maitri's socks on today, I was thinking about it. The planet entered the sock, the planet foot entered the sock smoothly, and then it exited the sock. But the space inside the sock is still there, okay? Nothing happened to it. That's why we say that space, as the absence of physicality, as the absence of anything physical, is unchanging, okay? If the whole universe blows up, if the whole universe reaches what we call heat death, and all entities in the universe, all physical entities, are equal distance from each other, which means there's no more energy, there's no transfer of energy, the universe is in a state of death, heat death, no information, no life is possible. All particles of the universe are equally spaced from each other, and it will stay that way forever. Still, the place where my planet that I was riding through the nighttime stars, the space that I passed through on my journey, on my orbit, that space will always be there. Even if the universe dies, even if all the stuff in the universe disappears, that place where Geshe Michael rode planet Earth through the sky will never move, and it will always be there. So that's an unchanging space. I'll give you another name for it, and then we'll take a break. That unchanging space that my planet, I rode the planet through, is called place. The unchanging space that my planet passed through is called place. And place will always be there. That location in empty space will always be there. Even if the universe ends, that place will always be there. Let's get back on that planet with the planet behind us. And we're up on the hill with the grass behind us. And I don't know if you've ever been camp. I remember camping on that hill one time. My wife loves to camp. She's against sleeping bags. She says sleeping bags are bad because you can't move your legs. And she makes me sleep out on the grass, under the night sky, with a couple of blankets. And it's cold. And it's uncomfortable. And there's all kinds of bugs coming and going. And frankly, the last 3-4 hours, I'm always just waiting for dawn. And I'm watching the black sky. And then slowly it gets hope. I feel hope coming because you see gray. Gray is good. Gray means sun is coming. Sun is coming means my wife's going to make a fire and make a coffee, which is her favorite thing to do with a fire. And so there's going to be hope. So I see imagine the black night is changing to gray, and then it changes to kind of a lighter gray. And then finally, coffee time, because the blue sky came back. Okay, so we are back under the blue sky. And the grass is still behind us. And underneath the grass is the dirt. And the dirt, I don't know, it can be 3 feet deep, it can be 100 feet deep. It's basically just the rock of the earth that wore off and turn to dust, okay? So you have a hard ball of rock, and it's got some dirt on the top, little tiny bit. And then there's seeds dropped in that dirt. Water falls from the sky. Plants grow, trees grow. And that planet is now, we are riding the planet again through the blue sky, okay? Just imagine that. Okay. That planet behind your back is 4 billion years old. 4 billion years old. The dirt behind your back, the dirt under the grass, is 4 billion years old. And that world is passing through an outer space, a black space, which is 13 billion years old, okay? So all the stuff flying through the black space from the Big Bang, that stuff is 13 billion years old, okay? I'll ask you a question and think about it. Is that 13 billion year old stars and planets, are those 13 billion year old stars and planets, are they the same as the pen? Are they the same as the pen? Are they coming at you? Or are they coming from you? Okay. Well, Geshe-la, if they're coming from me, they can't be 13 billion years old. That's not correct. That's not true. They are 13 billion years old. Well, then they don't come from me because I'm only 50, 60, 30 years old. Can't be me caused all those planets, 13 billion year old planets. But you did. Okay? There's no planet. There's no star that you can see that is not coming from your seeds. It's not possible. There's no such thing. If the pen that you hold in your hand comes from you, then the 13 billion year old stars that you see have also come from you. Well, then they're not really 13 billion years old, but they are. They are 13 billion years old. They really are. Well, then, there's some things that come from me, And there's some things that don't come from me. Well, come on. We learned that's not true in DCI level 1. Now you're on level 7, okay? Hopefully, we learn one thing. If the pen is coming from you, then everything else around you is coming from you. And the stars and the planets that you are driving the planet through are coming from you. They have come from you. Okay? Somehow, for 13 billion years, your seeds have been making planets and stars for 13 billion years. Or else, half the stuff in the world's coming from you, and the older stuff's not coming from you. You see, it doesn't make sense, right? Well, how old does it have to be before it's not coming from you? Well, look, Geshe-la, I feel comfortable that anything 10 years old or newer is coming from me. But after 10 years, I don't think so. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical, okay? If the pen is coming from you, then the 13 billion-year-old stars, planets, the 4 billion-year-old rock behind your back, and the grass that grew there 2-3 months ago, and the trees that were planted there 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they're all coming from you. They're all coming from you. Now, final kind of space. Now, the fourth kind of space, the deepest kind of space, the real space, the emptiness space, the diamond world, okay? Think of all those things in your experience right now. Thank goodness it's morning. The blue sky is overhead. The warm air is passing over your body. I like the tickle of the grass behind your body. And there's this very solid feeling of a whole planet of rock behind your back. And then there's this awareness, even though it's daytime, that there are billions of stars around you, okay? Even though the sun is up, we are still surrounded by billions of stars. In a single half inch from the point of view of a human eye looking up, there are hundreds of billions of planets in just a half inch of the sky. And now, try to imagine one of those things that's not coming from your seeds. Is there anything that you could ever experience that is not coming from your seeds? Could you have an experience of a special kind of weird thing that's not coming from you? And it's not possible. If the pen is coming from you, and if the pen 1 minute ago was coming from you, then it doesn't matter if something happened 13 billion years ago. 1 minute ago and 13 billion years ago is the same. It's the same thing. It's the past. And you created all of it. In fact, you created the past to be the past. And you created the future not to come yet. Okay? You've created everything in all time. Not just the world behind your back, not just where it was a million years ago, wherever it ever will be, and wherever it ever was, and wherever it is now, it's all coming from you. If you try to find in this universe one thing that's not coming from you, you cannot find it, and when you cannot find it, you found emptiness. Okay, I'll say it again. If you scan the universe with your mind, scan the daytime, scan the nighttime, scan all of the past of the universe's history, scan all of the future in your mind, and you look for one thing that's not coming from you, and you don't find anything, you are very close to touching the diamond world. you are on the edge of touching the diamond world. Okay, it's a wonderful. So this meditation on the four spaces is extremely important. It's extremely important to go through it slowly. Blue, black, place, and then real emptiness of anything I didn't make. Okay, and then you will reach, you'll come very close to the diamond world. Okay, Geshe-la, that sounds like some kind of reading some physics book. You know, that's interesting. The whole universe come from me, I understand. And if I try to point to something that doesn't come from me, I don't find anything. I got that. I understand that. I don't feel different. I don't feel special. Nothing happened to me that moment when you said that, but it did. Okay? But it did. The seeds that you planted in the last few minutes of this meditation, because of the power of the object, and not because of the power of another person or what they did for you in the past or how many people they're helping or your motivation, regardless of all those factors, to get close to thinking about the real diamond world is the most powerful good seed you can plant. Those 5 minutes of thinking about that is worth maybe all the good deeds you did in your life. Okay, and you have to appreciate that, and you have to understand that. A bad emptiness meditation is worth 1,000 good meditations on something else, okay? It's power, and that power will change the whole world. You'll be able to help all the people in the world, okay? With that meditation, if you touch the diamond world, then you really have something precious to save the lives of countless people.